I'm Ryan Walters, that other podcast host that you hate the most, and you're listening to the Hidden Oaks Overdose Football Fix.
Thank you, Ryan Walters. It is Tuesday, October 31st, 2023, a spooky Tuesday evening, Josh.
Racist. It is.
What? That has nothing to do with race. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Hidden Oaks Overdose Football Fix podcast. I am one of the lovely hosts, the Garlic Johnson. We are joined, as always, for podcast number 161 by our other lovely hosts, the Josh and Mitchell. Josh, say hi to the folks out there.
Hi, folks.
Beautiful. We appreciate you saying that to them. We also appreciate people who chat along in our Discord. Today was the trade deadline. Al was in there a bunch chatting along with us, looking back to see if Walters chimed in. He did not, but Walters is all over there as well. We appreciate him. He was there on Sunday watching the border battle, so shout out to him as well. And for those of others of you who regularly contribute, oh, there's Al, speak of the damn devil. He is now listening live because I actually put up the notification tonight. Segment start times down in the description below. Thank you at Levi Oki Illustration for all the beautiful art that people can see. Josh? Ha. Yeah. Darn.
Darn. Like I said, it's Halloween. Took the toddler out for some trick-or-treats. Maybe went to six houses. Everybody loves a little kid, so they gave him extra candy. And it's just like, yep, just keep tossing them Twizzlers in there because I know he ain't going to eat them. And so...
Any toothbrushes or apples or anything? Any rogues?
No, we do... I talked to, as we were walking by houses, I told Nikita, I was like, huh, this is a great opportunity for us to actually see our neighbors and maybe meet them. And sure enough, made a couple friends. Only words exchanged were trick or treat, but I like to say that's friendship.
Wow, you guys are, that's like second base in Christian baseball, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, how are you, Gar?
Well, I'm pretty good. Since our last podcast, we did that on Saturday morning, and then of course we had Jesse's lovely wedding on Saturday afternoon. I was curious, how you felt the event went. Obviously, you're a little different animal these days. Not quite the party animal you used to be. I think you wanted to leave around 8, and then I had us take a group picture at 8:30, so I pretty much trapped you there for another half an hour, and then you guys immediately left after that. But yeah, I don't know.
Well, not immediately. We took the group picture. We hung out a little bit longer. We went out to check some speakers.
Yeah, we had to check the speakers real quick. A little fireball action. Some Whitneys were pink out there. But I mean, you know what I mean, though. Like, you're. How does it feel? I guess I don't know how many weddings you've gone to sober. But like, how do you experience the event being someone who is much more chill these days versus the wild animals you saw before you, like Jesse?
I'm trying to think. I don't know if I've ever gone. I'm lying. I did go to a wedding a couple weeks ago sober. A little bit of a different animal because we got to bring Asher to that one. And it was with my dad's college friend's kids, like her.
Twice removed.
Yeah. His college friend's daughter got married. So it's like, I'm not going to go wild when my dad and all his friends are there. That's for them. And so, I was just mainly Washington and Asher. And there were a couple times during the night where I'm just sitting there. I'm just like, you know what? That crown apple with cranberry sounds kind of good. I was going to go up to the bartender. I was going to go up to the barkeep and say, give me one of them love potions. Hold the cran apple or hold the app or hold the cranberry, please.
Sure.
But
just straight crown apple.
But I did manage to, we made it home at a reasonable hour. And yeah.
Wow, look at you.
11 o'clock or 10 o'clock.
Being such an adult. Does it make you feel sick to yourself sometimes?
Yeah, you want to know what's really adult about that whole evening? Apparently, I had sat too awkward or stood too long because my back and my hip were bothering me. Just happens from all my previous athletic attempts. And I ended up having to sleep on the floor in order to have enough support. I felt like the ranch.
Oh, dude, he loves a good floor sleep, dude. You need to get yourself a nice firm mattress. Do you guys don't got a nice firm mattress or what?
We ordered something off of, it was like a discount mattress, king size, 6 feet long on the right side, 4.5 feet on the left. So they must have got it misprinted, but, it's a little bit too soft for my liking. We were looking at the whole, sleep number bed, but then I looked and I was like, this is just one big air balloon essentially. And all I need is Kai to just get excited one time.
That's true. But I mean, also, you spend a third of your life sleeping. You think you'd pony up for the expense. Anyways.
No, actually, no, you don't. Not if you have a mattress like us and you don't sleep at night because you have bad back and bad hips. It's more like a fifth.
Dude, you are fucking old. You should have stretched it more. You barely even danced on the dance floor, Josh, and you've been known to cut a rug in the past. Anyways, that's probably enough wedding talk. Is there any other thoughts about the wedding or your time since Saturday? Otherwise, we can get into your wrap-up if you'd like.
Well, I'd actually never been to a wedding in which you officiated, and I thought you did an amazing job. I had the chuckles and the giggles. No tears shed, so bravo if you were hoping to keep a dry audience. Bradley,
I mean, there were some wet ladies out there, don't get me wrong, but the eyes might have been dry for sure.
Bradley, I do appreciate the speech. I thought you did a great job. I do feel bad that I called you out loudly in front of everybody when you didn't hold the mic up. But people needed to hear the kind words you had to say. I'm kind of happy that most people didn't know it was me.
I would say, just for a second, Al's listening. He'll appreciate this. Brian will appreciate it too. I guess he was there. I don't know if Brian knows it was you, but yeah, fucking Bradley is just starting his best man speech. Bradley's a little bit, I'm right next to Bradley, so I could pick up on this more than anyone else in the room, but Bradley was a little bit nervous. You know, he could tell he was a little uncomfortable speaking in front of a room of, 200 people. Within the first sentence, Josh heckles from probably three tables over. You go, hold the mic close to your mouth, and Bradley looks so uncomfortable, and he's like, am I getting heckled immediately into my best man speech? But later he said
it wasn't even like that. It was like, hold the mic closer, like I did it in a deep, just raspy voice,
and for sure
I thought he was gonna drop it. Like he kind of jumped and so
he wasn't ready. But you know what? That's something you can get away with at a Jesse wedding. There's not many weddings you can get away with that, Josh. I think Jesse wedding was the perfect setting.
One more. I mean, this is going to be an extended intro, and I apologize to the people who don't care, but you and I haven't talked a whole lot about this yet. But I do a couple things. I wonder how the hot dogs went, and if Jesse was greasy enough to actually eat them.
No, he did not.
Did he appreciate them?
He thought it was funny.
Okay, good. Second, I felt so. I just had on a general pair of Lulu pants and like a button up with a tie. I felt underdressed at a Jesse wedding, and I honest God thought that you can ask Nikita, she will verify. I had thought of stopping at Walmart to get a pair of jorts and a cutoff to wear.
Oh, you should have
fit right in.
Jesse would have loved it.
Jesse would have, but the 199 other people there that were probably there for Aaliyah would not have liked it.
Elena.
What did I say?
Aaliyah. Aaliyah? She married Bradley's or Talon's daughter or whatever.
I don't know. There's too many weird names in this world. But yeah, Gar, let's, unless you have something to add to my additions of addition, let's get into it.
This is the Hidden Oaks overdose, and we did just overdose on Hidden Oaks. So let's wrap up the rhyming weekend, Josh.
All right. So this week's wrap-up is not like it was before. I'll touch on winners and expand on more. The Bills, Broncos, and Boys won this week, and the Panthers ended their winless streak. The Seahawks, Eagles, Ravens soared and scored. The Jets' win proved even players can get bored. Jaguars, Bengals, Lions round off the wins for the Cats, and Dolphins win again with impressive offensive stats. Titans, Vikings, Saints dish L's to the teams they faced, and the Chargers zap the Bears, and Staley keeps his place. There you have it, all the teams that won Week 8, their smiling faces pave the way to next week's slate. Alas, a team that played but was not listed up above, the one and only team led by quarterback Jordan Love. Call me foolish for having hope as Weeks 1 and 2 pass by. Love had his flaws, yet still looked good, like he may be the guy. Hope dwindled, turnovers mounted, cheering became a drag. Run games stalled, wrong routes ran. Oh, look, another flag. Defense tried for a few games to keep them alive. Now we're lucky if they try for the first two plays of the drive. I have more confidence in Jared Fogle taking kids' yearbook picks than I do in this Packers defense when it becomes 3rd and 6. I can rest my head at night knowing it can't get worse than this. With a top 5 pick in next year's draft, surely we can't miss. Bears stink.
Dude, the Jared Fogle line was kind of fire. I like that one a lot.
Yeah, as Pat would say, that's bars. Although it's probably, not because,
I mean, Jared Fogle's behind bars. So,
That's very true.
hey,
for taking kids' picks.
Double me. I mean, did he take the kids' picks or was he just in possession of them?
I don't know. I don't know.
Let's hope we never know, honestly. I don't want to know what that man was doing. But who, you know, Josh, when I started this podcast approximately 10 minutes ago, I did not think we'd be talking about child porn, but here we are, you know?
Well, that just got flagged. His name is Garlic Johnson.
Yep, on Johnson Street. I do mark it as explicit. This is an 18-plus podcast. They should know. Rated R. Anywho, Josh, I appreciate your rhyming wrap-up. You know, whatever you have to do to keep it fresh for the folks, you know, or keep it fresh for yourself so you can produce for the folks. I like it still. How'd you feel about
it? Continuation of the Jared Fogle talk with the keep it fresh. Subway, eat fresh.
I mean, he's got a $5 foot long for me, I heard.
Ouch. What was your question? How did I feel it went?
Yeah, you said you were changing it up. So did you feel better about it than the earlier ones? Or do you feel, I guess, you know, how do you feel?
Oh, I don't know. I'm going to keep changing it up and kind of having fun with it as I go. Just keep it fresh. Obviously, this one was more so a homage to the border battle that was not much of a battle, where both teams ended up actually being losers.
The next one should be much more exciting, unfortunately.
Yeah. So we'll get into that. We'll see how it goes each week. But yeah, Gar, what do we usually do after we wrap up the week?
Well, Josh, just like I'm sure Jesse had after all those drinks on Saturday evening, we're going to go ahead and we're going to expand on the fire that's in our gut.
Welcome back. Who drove over here? Quick, let me see your hands. Who took the bus? Did you have fire in your gut? Did you? We're here for a reason. Don't get that twisted, okay? We're here for a reason to win games. So if you didn't have that fire in your gut, you better light the fire pretty fast. Be who you are. Just understand, I'm looking for killers.
Woo! That gets me fucking going, Josh, every time. Keep in mind, this was put out. This wasn't like some leak clip. This was put out by the Arizona Cardinals social media team as a hype piece. They put that on the internet intentionally. And I couldn't thank them more for it, Josh. And I'll go first because you put together such a beautiful rhyming wrap up that I feel like I wouldn't want to make you talk so much in a row. I think that'd be rude. So, Josh, so fire in my gut this weekend. We'll start here. Obviously, we were excited about Jesse's wedding. Obviously, we were excited about a Vikings dub. Obviously, we're excited about a lot of things. But I'm going to go ahead and give this fire in my gut to the Miami Dolphins. They continue to be electric. Greatest show on surf. Tyreek Hill looks amazing. Runs straight to the sideline. Mike McDaniels is amazing. Preseason, let the record show, I predicted that team to be in the Super Bowl. I continue to hold that place in my heart. They made Billy B look silly again. Not that anyone thought, you know, Billy B was necessarily going to win this game, even though he had just beat the Bills. It just proves the Dolphins are electric, and I love it. But, Josh, of course, people who watched the border battle on Sunday, they probably got a different kind of fire in their gut. And that fire in my gut is brought to me by Kirk Cousins, unfortunately. Pretty much an Iron Man. Man tears his Achilles. Viking season in jeopardy. Some already saying it's over. We'll see what Jaren Hall can do. We've got Josh Dobbs on the team as well. Maybe Nick Mullins comes back, although I would assume not. At least not until much later than anticipated. It's unfortunate. Say what you want about his play. Say what you want about his, you know, where he ranks among the current NFL starters. The dude's a guy, okay? And even, you know, his most unpopular time was the COVID thing. But, you know, at least he didn't handle it in a Rodgers fashion. He's like, I'm not getting the shot. I'm not telling anyone else what to do. And, you know, it got pretty quiet after that, whereas Rodgers is still talking about it to this day. Kirk's a good guy is the moral of the story. Kirk's a good guy. He means a lot to the community. He means a lot to the team. You know, many players were tearing up afterwards in the locker room and such. It's just, I don't know, a bad thing could happen to such a nicer guy. And that just, you know, that makes me sick to my stomach. Josh, you got any fire in your gut this week?
Yeah. I have one written down, but I'll just continue on. Yeah, it stinks to see Cousins go down. Obviously, Packers fan here, not a fan of the Vikings. Quarterback did give me a look into the off-field antics of Kirk Cousins, and I like Coles, so therefore I like Kirk. And so It stinks to see. I watched the replay, and yeah, you could see the calf pop that everybody pointed out in Rodgers's. And so it just kind of, you know, it stinks. He's a nice guy. Obviously, it seems as if it might be his last snap as a Minnesota Viking. And so you guys are going to be welcome to the, you know, what the Green Bay Packers are experiencing for this long period of time of, you know, quarterback turmoil. We've been dealing with it for like 8 weeks. You guys are going to have to deal with it now for a while, since you guys have had stability there forever, it seems. It does stink. Obviously, bringing in Josh Dobbs, not the same. My big thing was, like, one of the first thoughts I had was, okay, so now we're going to see who the people who on Reddit were just bang pots and pans just to bang pots and pans, if they're going to change their tune. Because I have a feeling there's going to be a lot of people who go, okay, so Cousins was not that bad. Maybe we should have kind of cooled our jets a little bit on this one.
Right. Maybe we could tame our own discourse just a wee bit.
Yeah, because he is, yeah, I mean, as far as like starting 32, he's probably top 10 easy, as far as just overall. And then this year, he might even be in the conversation for top 3, top 4, as far as like production-wise. Yeah, he has his turnovers, but, you know, he was slinging the rock.
He had a pretty hot start to the season. He was like top 3 in like yards, touchdowns, and something else. I don't know if it was completion percentage or what, but he was, or maybe QB rating, but he was top 3 in like 3 of the, you know, flashy categories, so... It's unfortunate. Will it be his last snap in purple? That's tough to say. It kind of depends on if Kirk changes his tune, because I think the Vikings, if they could draft someone, depending on how, you know, Jaren Hall finishes the season or Josh Dobbs does or whatever, I could see them trying to get him back one more year. We draft a QB and then sit him, like draft a high QB and then sit him behind Kirk for one more year. I just don't know if Kirk will want to do a one-year deal. Allegedly, he offered us like 3 years coming into the year, and we didn't want it. So who knows if it's his last year in purple. He could retire. He could go play somewhere else. Time will tell. But did you have a positive fire in your gut, or shall we move on, Josh?
Nope.
All right. We'll move on, Josh, then, to one of our newer segments. This is where we reflect on our love for, maybe we could do it in honor of Asher. We reflect on Asher's love of Toy Story, and of course, Asher wouldn't love Toy Story unless we loved Toy Story, Josh. We wouldn't be showing that kid Toy Story unless we knew we loved it in our heart. So it's an homage to Asher, it's an homage to us as kids, but it's Toy Story 4, Josh, and it's Forky. Hey, Forky. What were the Giants saying as they looked in the mirror in the locker room after letting the Jets tie with 1 second to go in regulation and then letting them win in overtime?
I'm trash.
Forky, what was Michael Jordan saying as he watched Patrick Mahomes trying to play a flu game?
Trash?
Forky, what did Jordan Love tell Jimmy Garoppolo after he missed Devontae on 2 wide open touchdowns?
You're just like me. Trash!
Just can't win.
Thank you, Forky.
Yeah, Forky, senior trash correspondent. Shout out to Forky. We'll move on here, Josh, to the weekly wrap-up. In the grain of salt, Josh, how you doing in fantasy after week 8?
I plead the 5th.
That good, huh?
This week I went 5-4.
That's not that bad.
Lost against the median in Victoria's Secret again. It's 5 in a row.
Tough, brother.
So I'm 8-8 in that league. If we were still doing head-to-head, I'd be 6-2. So the median has not been kind to me in that league. Lost in the redraft to you. Lost to the median in the redraft. Had a down week. Won in the champs branch and median. Lost in butt sweat. Won in dynasty. And I won in the deflate these balls league against you.
Yeah, dude, I can never make the right start decisions with Alvin Kamara, Jonathan Taylor, Josh Jacobs. I just can't pick the right combination of two, it seems, every week. But I don't think I would have won either
way.
But
overall, 5-5. Based on the intellectual property of Joshua Allen and Bunker Incorporated, 255 wins, 185 losses, 58% win there. So, Gar, how about you? How do you do?
Oh, Josh, I went 6-4 on the week, similar to last week. Not my best week, but still above 500, I guess. But you can see this. No one else can. But we're starting to see red at the top. And we don't want to see red up here because this is where all my money was invested. And I've lost three in a row in the most expensive league, and it is not pretty. We lost. Easy. Josh is meddling with the spreadsheet live. How dare he? But 6-4 on the week. Just using the records as they appear in the apps, I'm 57-23 on the year. So 71.25 winning percentage. Pretty good. Still alive in both guillotine leagues. Have officially made top 10 in both guillotine leagues. So that feels pretty good. One more week and I will have made it halfway ish. Or where did they go? 17 weeks? So I guess I've already made it halfway. Either way. So that feels pretty good, but we're starting to get worse on the win losses again. If I were to play every team this week in every league, I would have gone 69-35. But I'm being being carried pretty heavily by my bottom teams. I went 11-0 and 10-0. I went 10-0 in both guillotine leagues and 11-0 in the BSB. Ended Micah's 7-0 streak. Suck at Micah. He's going to win the championship, but I can say I beat him. So that's always, you know, I got pride points there, right? But overall, sorry, I just hit my mic. I'm 588-301 using the intellectual property of Josh Allen Bunker Incorporated. So that's a 66.14 winning percentage. And again, I'm seeing too many L's in my top leagues. I was really planning on my top leagues to bankroll everything else. And right now, it's not looking too pretty. We're definitely on the downward trend, and I don't want to see that anymore. So we're going to need to turn some things around here. But overall, not doing that bad.
Shout out to Audio Al for also ending a 7-win streak in the Deflate These Balls League. He defeated Foster.
Took down. I think Foster is going to be the future champ as well. So I'll keep that feather in your hat. Hey, I've been saying it since the preseason. I power ranked Foster number one.
He only beat me by 35.
Only, huh?
Also, while we're on the topic of Deflate These Balls, I guess I'm guessing you got the text message from Al about Josh J and his brother. That is awful.
Holy shit, dude.
So, yeah, obviously.
I didn't even respond because I didn't even know what to say. Like, what do I say? Yeah, I don't think I've ever even met the Josh Johnson, but it's like, Jesus.
I don't think I have either, unless it was at like a turkey bowl randomly. But it stinks. Obviously, we'll be accommodating to his team while he's away, if he's away. And so I'm not stressing too much about it.
I wouldn't even be mad if like he just said Al set my highest projected lineup every week, or you know, he wanted someone to take care of his team.
That's kind of what I was thinking would happen. Obviously, yeah. There's a few things more important than fantasy football.
For sure.
That would be one of them.
Without question, yeah. Shout out to Al for letting the people know. That sucks a lot. Don't even know how to transition out of that. Thank you for bringing it up, but also
you're welcome. To do the FanDuel kind of hoping top we'd end three. Right now.
Just end the pod.
Yeah, so FanDuel top three, we've got the top three weekly totals. We've got Derek with a 151.86. So he has now been in the top scorer 2 weeks in a row now. Next, we have Sky Boosters with 117.48. So a big drop between the top one and top two. And then Al, just right behind Sky Boosters with 116.1. Our top three leaderboard is Derek with 662.8. He jumped up about 45 points to his total with his big week this week. Then we've got Levi Oki, who has not changed at all. I believe he has just moved down a slot to second, and he's 632.04.
Bingo.
And then there's a new third place, me, 619.68. I gained 10 points with my week last week.
Kicked me out of the top three, Josh. What the fuck's your problem?
Well, now you can kick me out next week.
Perfect. All right, Josh, are you ready to do a little shopping?
What are you shopping for?
Well, Josh, according to I was reading a Snapple cap earlier today because I'm a Snapple fan, and I don't know if you knew this, but for a pig to legally be considered a hog in the United States, it has to be over 120 pounds. So I learned that, Josh. And with that, we are actually going hog shopping, Josh.
Bacon? You don't put bacon in your body.
Why not?
The worst thing you could put in your body.
I love hog.
It's fried fat.
I eat everything on the pig except the squeal. Oink.
That is the opening bell, Josh, and the hog market is officially open after it. We buy or sell here. We don't hold. We don't wait and see. We simply buy or sell impulsively. Josh, Will Levis, rookie quarterback out of Kentucky. He was a controversial, potentially number two, number three pick. Fell all the way into the second round in this year's draft. I took him in the BSB league, got a lot of flack for it, just like DK Metcalf before him, but I'm still laughing to this day. Josh, he had 29 attempts for 19 completions, 238 yards, and 4 passing touchdowns. Also had 7 rushing attempts, so he's quick on his feet, but only for 11 yards, so he didn't go very far. How do we feel about Will Levis, Josh? Would you buy him or sell that fried fat?
I would buy him at this point because he still hasn't built up enough value to cost a whole lot. In Dynasty, I don't think. One big game like that might get people to actually be willing to move him, but you wouldn't have to like give up a whole lot of capital, I wouldn't think. In redraft, he's probably on the waiver wire, so yeah, I'd probably toss in a bid for, I'd toss in a few bucks.
Okay, so obviously in redraft, there's not much of a sell option, but in Dynasty, you wouldn't try and flip him after one game?
No, I don't think. It would take a special kind of person to sell for his max value after one game.
Okay. All right. So Josh, you said it was everything on the pig but the squeal.
I eat everything on the pig except the squeal.
All right, Josh. Next on the list, we have someone who has been stinking it up for most of the year and had potentially his breakout game of the year. We're talking Commanders receiver Jahan Dotson. He had his regular, 80%+ snap percentage. He had 10 targets with 8 receptions, 108 yards receiving, and 1 receiving touchdown. Pretty efficient, 10.8 yards per target, 13.5 yards per catch. Josh, he's stunk all year except for this game. Will you try and sell him now and sell him high? Or do you think it's time to buy Mr. Jahan Dotson before he explodes?
I would try and sell him, contrary to what I just said with Will Levis. I do think that selling him now is going to be the best play for him after one good game, because he's shown that he can do it, but he hasn't shown the consistency, and that's.
All right, so yeah. Jahan Dotson.
It's fried fat.
Would your answer be the same regardless of redraft or dynasty, I guess?
Yeah, I don't want him on either of my teams.
Okay. Moving on, Josh, to tight end for the Arizona Cardinals, Mr. Trey McBride, second-year player out of Colorado State. He is now the starter down in Arizona because Zach Ertz went on the IR, I believe, or at least he's banged up. I'm not sure if he was IR-bound or not, but he had an 82% snap percentage, so he was by far the starter without question down in Arizona. He had 14 targets, 10 receptions, 95 yards, and a touchdown. Not quite as efficient as Jahan Dotson was, only 6.8 yards per target, 9.5 yards per catch, but I mean, that's pretty good for a tight end. Even in just standard scoring, that's 15.5 points with the 95 yards and the TUD. What do we feel about Trey McBride, Josh? 10 points if you're playing full PPR, just in receptions. Josh?
I'm still here. I'm thinking.
He's calculating.
Well, see, the name Trey kind of sits a little uncomfy in my tummy because Trey Lance was on my team last year in a dynasty league, and it was a team that I adopted. So before anybody jumps down my throat saying, "Why would you draft trash?" I didn't draft him. He was just on my team. I did get rid of him as quickly as I possibly could. So the name Trey just kind of sits uncomfy. McBride reminds me of McKitty, who just got cut from the Chargers team. So that's a little bit saddening as well. I'm going to go ahead and I'm just going to sell Trey McBride. Too much pain in that name.
All right. Trey McBride.
I used very, very, very good football logic in that.
Dude, sometimes you got to pull on truthiness, Josh. You got to trust that gut. Josh, this one isn't really much of a buy or sell discussion. It's just, do you think, especially looking towards the playoffs, so this is mainly a contender question, do you think there will be any value in Leonard Fournette rest of season? Latavius Murray obviously looks decent in Buffalo, but Lenny Fournette could, take some playing time, and he seems to get better as the year goes on, Mr. Lenny Lasagna does. So maybe not for the next couple weeks, but do you think contender should stash him to see if anything happens?
Yeah, I think that buying him at this point is okay. I looked at his stats a little bit last year. He didn't have like the like the season bust or breaking or game breaking ability that he had in the past, I don't think. But that entire team didn't. They struggled last year. And so I guess it just depends on how much lasagna he's eating between games. Because if he's eating a lot and he shows up looking like Vince Wilfork, probably won't stash him. But if he's, you know, reasonable Eddie Lacy size, then yeah, I'd stash him.
Okay. Because, yeah, I definitely could see an argument where plenty of people would say that would be a waste of a bench spot. But Josh is saying, you know what, Leonard Fournette?
I eat everything on the pig except the squeal.
All right, Josh, there was a late addition to the list. I'd always intended on having a fifth player. I wasn't sure who it was, but then it just hit me earlier when we were doing our fire and gut discussion. There was already some question marks after the season, but now these questions come to the forefront, and I'm sure your answer could be different for Dynasty versus Redraft, but I'm talking Minnesota Vikings wide receiver Justin Jefferson. At this point, he's still on the IR. Who knows if he wants to come back or not this year? Who knows if he wants to come back to the team after his rookie contract and potential tag disputes now that Kurt could be gone? Josh, would you buy or sell Justin Jefferson?
Oh, I'm trying to think. Has he played a game? I mean, he hasn't played a game without Kurt, has he?
Maybe. I think he might have played that COVID game with Mannion, but I won't remember. Would that have been last year or 2 years ago in Green Bay? I generally don't remember.
It's hard to say, you know, buy him because we don't know what his value would be with another quarterback, especially if it's going to be somebody like Josh Dobbs or somebody who is kind of more of a journeyman. If it's not Cousins, it would be hard to say buy, but it's also hard to say sell to the best wide receiver in football at this point. And so that's a toughie. I would say, you know, if you're wishy-washy and you're kind of nervous that he is not QB proof, then sell him. That's kind of what my gut is leaning towards. But at the same time, I don't know. This is a toughie, Gar. What would you do?
I know. Well, I mentioned it because I have Justin Jefferson in the Butt, Sweat, and Beers Dynasty League, and I put him on the trade block, you know, after the injury happened. I was thought about doing it, you know, a couple weeks earlier, but I didn't. And I didn't get a single offer, not even like a lowball offer. So, like, I put Justin Jefferson on the trade block. I know it's anecdotal, it's only one league, but not even a single offer came in for Justin Jefferson after I put him on the trade block. So, I don't know if everyone's just going to wait and see what happens. Like, I respect that. That doesn't mean no one would want Justin Jefferson, depending on what his future looks like. But, you know, sitting here right now, it seemed like no one wanted to buy him, at least in this one league. And I'd like to think that's a pretty competitive, pretty trade-happy league. And not even a single offer for JJ came through. So I thought that was very interesting. I would definitely, since I put him on the trade block, in a dynasty format, I think I'd try and sell him. In a redraft, there's no reason to, I think, sell him at this point unless you get someone to overpay. And I guess what is overpaying based on his situation with Jaren Hall now? I don't know. But I would sell him. And just to your points on Green or playing without, if it happened in 2021, if that was Kirk's COVID game, he went, he had 11 targets, but there were only 6 receptions and 58 yards. So that was if it was week 17 of 2021. And if it was week 17 of 2022, he had 5 targets for only 1 reception, and that was a point and a half. So I don't remember which year it was. I know it was a late year Green Bay game. But yeah. Either way, he didn't do great in either of those Green Bay games, but one of them he had 11 targets. But yeah, anyway, so I guess for me, since Josh was kind of wishy-washy, I'll say Justin Jefferson at this point.
It's fried fat.
And I would sell. Josh, we'll go ahead and move on. Oh, that's the closing bell. Would always love to do more, but the bell has cut us off, Josh. I see you have prepared another potential Gar's gut. Do we want to do that? We're already, obviously, we had a little bit of wedding talk. We're at 33 minutes right now, but it is topical. It won't be Halloween next week. So you want to get this in here or what?
Exactly. This is going to be a special edition because it is Halloween. We've got to do something Gar's gut related on Halloween. So we're going to do a Gar's gut Halloween candy edition. So I'm not, you know, this isn't like, I guess anything could technically become a Halloween candy. Pretzels, for Pete's sakes, are trying to become Halloween candy. It won't allow it, but we're going to go with kind of, you know, the grab bag. You know, you see the big bags of assorted candies like the Hershey's, the Reese's, the Kit Kats, all of those. And then like the, you know, the theme ones. So the caramel apple suckers, the candy corn, that sort of thing. But we're going to do the AFC East head coaches. Gar, I need you to tell me what kind of candy Bill Belichick is.
See, this one's tough because obviously, again, the prompt, at least you have written in text there, is it's based on their performance. So Bill Belichick, in my opinion, is the greatest head coach of all time, but certainly his performance the last couple of years has been stinky.
Performance or personality?
I'm just saying. I'm trying to look at it through these different lenses. I'm not sure what is the greatest candy of all time, or at least was the greatest candy of all time, that maybe has fallen off a bit in the recent years. This one's tough, Josh. I don't want to overthink it. The podcast is already long. So I'll just go ahead and I'll go with a tried and true. What was I even thinking? I already forgot it. We'll go with Twizzlers. I don't know. Seems tried and true. Probably less popular these days, but Twizzlers licorice has been classic for a long, long time.
Okay. I mean, that's
just personality is pretty dry, to be fair.
Yeah. No, that is respectable. It's a multi-use tool. It could be used as a straw.
Little OJ Twizzler straw. Oof.
So yeah, that's useful. I, on the other hand, thinking of the performance in the past being successful and how it's kind of fallen off lately. So it's like he's missing a few pieces. And then with his personality being something that is very kind of stable. And very kind of just, you know, it kind of hits this right spot at times. I was going to go with he's not a full blown Snickers, but he is a Milky Way because he doesn't have the nuts in there. And so he's missing something to become a full blown Snickers.
Okay. I respect that.
Sean McDermott.
Sean McDermott.
He might be the one that I'm not the most. He's probably the one that I have the least familiarity with. But you can go.
Yeah,
ahead.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't catch a lot of headlines. He's a defensive coach. He can be excitable at times, but to me, I think of it because of the Bills right now. Their biggest gripe is it seems they play too much to the level of their competition. They're too inconsistent. I'm just going to go with a flat, plain original milk chocolate Hershey's bar. Can be great. You know, you're throwing them on some s'mores. I know we're talking Halloween candy here, but you can throw them on some s'mores, throw them in baking. Hershey chocolate can be great. Sometimes, do you want to just sit there and eat a plain chocolate bar? Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. Sean McDermott is just a plain milk chocolate Hershey's bar.
Okay, yeah, that is a. I think that's actually respectable. I think that that is a good fit for him. I'm going to go ahead and just agree with you and say that you got it. Next, we've got Bob Sala. Probably hasn't eaten a candy bar in his entire life.
Yeah, Bob Sala, I don't know why. He gives me like a sour candy vibe. I don't know if I want to give him the full like Sour Patch Kids because I don't know if he's earned Sour Patch Kids yet, but maybe something more like those like Sour Punch straws or like other sour candies that aren't quite as good as a Sour Patch Kid. But he gives me those sour vibes for some reason. I don't know why. What do you think about Bobby Sala?
Yeah, I mean, if we're going to go, like I said, he doesn't look like he's had a candy bar in his entire life. And his personality, he's very, he's very, like, energetic and passionate. And so I'm actually thinking hot tamales.
Because it's hot not tamales.
A candy. Yeah, it's not necessarily a Halloween candy, but it's like, it's just kind of fiery.
I like that. I also, amending my answer just a bit, I don't know if he ever wrestled or not, but he's, like you said, probably never had candy in his life. But if he did when he was younger, for those who know wrestlers, sometimes spitting is a very heavy regimen of theirs. They use Skittles or other things to put in their mouth and just let them, fucking drool out saliva for a long time. So he could be a Skittle or a Sour Skittle, to amend my answer just slightly. Maybe he's Sour Skittles based on the physique he has. Maybe he was spitting back in the days to, make weight for the big match. Last but not least, Josh, we have more of a new kid on the block, Miami Dolphins head coach Mike McDaniel. And I'll let you go first this time because I already know what my answer is, and my answer is correct. So I'm curious how wrong you're going to be.
Yeah, well, it's obvious that he's candy corn. Always get to put on display, but nobody wants him there. Just an absolute travesty to be called candy.
What's your problem?
No. I'm just kidding. Honestly, I'm having a hard time with Mike McDaniel because I don't
have the right answer. Just wait.
I want to hear what you have to say, and then I want to see if it sparks any creativity out of my mind.
Well, sure, Josh. I'm not even sure if you're familiar with this candy, because it has become very popular within just the past maybe 2-3 years or so. But Mike McDaniel, being very similar, only becoming popular within the last year, maybe 2 years, worked his way up to be the run game coordinator for the 49ers and now is a head coach. So that's more of a new kid on the block vibe. He's still very good, very exciting, very tasty. Mike McDaniel is, of course, Nerds Gummy Clusters, dude. A new candy, a spin on the old Nerds rope. You get more nerds and less rope. He is obviously Nerds Gummy Clusters, and there's not another right answer, okay?
You know, I've had them. I'm familiar with them. They're delicious. They are great. They are kind of a twist on an old candy. Kind of the best of both worlds. I do think that that is a good fit there, but I'm going to stick with candy corn. He's just corny and doesn't necessarily belong.
All right, Josh, we're going to make your fucking
unicorn. I'm just kidding. No, if we're going to give candy corn to anybody, that's Josh McDaniel.
That'd be great, honestly, for Josh McDaniel. Oh, shit. All right, Josh, we are plenty over, and Al already said, you know, he liked Gar's gut as a one-offer, so now we've done it 2 weeks in a row, so I'm sure we'll be hearing about that in the fan mail or in the Discord, which you could, if you'd like to join our Discord and see Al pull us apart for doing Gar's gut 2 weeks in a row, be sure to click the link in the bio below, the description below, to join our Discord and watch Al eviscerate us. But Josh, we'll go ahead and just get out of here. No pomp, no circumstance. Anything else you want to say other than go Packers? Otherwise, say go Packers and we will leave.
Go for a top three pick, Packers. Go Packers.
I will be on the Xbox shortly if you want to play with just two people.
Could you imagine Caleb Williams in green and gold?
Could I imagine it? Sure. I mean, I could just put, you know, associate colors with his body. Do I think you guys will be bad enough to get him? No.
I don't know. Panthers are on a hot streak.
They won one in a row.
It's more than the Packers.
True.
All right. Well, deuces.
Miss you already. Go and give me a little something.
Yeah, something zest.
Beautiful.